Well, friends, who here remembers their first car? Anybody? Rings back that far? Yeah. Well, it turns out my wife, Gail, didn't have a first car, per se. She had a first minivan, a classic Plymouth that looked something like this. This isn't the real one, but yeah, it's got the stylish wood panels, you know. It was maroon, but this is what the internet found for me. So maybe a better question is, who remembers their first minivan, right? I remember our family's first minivan. I will never forget. It was a Mazda MPV. Now, you may wonder why I'm talking about cars and minivans during a sermon. Well, two reasons. One, as I mentioned, it's Father's Day, so I thought I should talk about cars. But seriously, more importantly, whenever we talk about the way of Jesus, the early church, what immediately comes to mind to me, what is the heartbeat of this Jesus movement, is Christian community. This is a community unlike any other. This is a community that's not accidental, but intentional. It's a community that doesn't mirror culture, but critiques culture and offers us an alternative way to exist in this world. The relationships we have in the Christian community are not about comfort, but about purpose. They're relationships that aren't transactional, but transformational. And the very first thing the Holy Spirit does after that Pentecost moment is gathers people together into community as the church. And this makes sense, right? The first thing Jesus did in his ministry was he called disciples to himself and created his own small group to do ministry together. And when I think of Christian community, especially as we begin this sermon series, The Way, through the book of Acts, I always think of that Mazda MPV minivan, my first minivan. Why? Because there's a story with that van. It started in Milton, Wisconsin. That was where I was assigned for my internship year as a part of seminary to become a pastor. It was a year-long thing that we had to do. And so Gail and I and our son Elijah, who was very young at the time, moved to Wisconsin for this. And at the time, we started internship with just one son, but we came away from internship with three kids. Now, if you're trying to do that math, one kid plus twins equals three. That's how you add it up. At the time, we had two very small vehicles. We had a 1996 Honda Accord, and then we had a very small Mitsubishi Outlander, a little SUV. Now, we had been hoping and praying that God would bless us with more kids. We wanted Elijah to have a sibling or two, but we were shocked when the doctor said, "Guess what? It's twins." We were excited, but we were also terrified because, well, first of all, twins, but second of all, because we were broke. I was on internship. And you know what doesn't fit in the back of a 96 Accord or a Mitsubishi Outlander? Three car seats. So we didn't know what we were going to do. So we sold our SUV, and we were trying to find a very used minivan to fit these three kids we were expecting, and we were struggling to make this work. And looking for a minivan in small-town Wisconsin was no easy thing. We were making calls and looking on the internet and just having no luck. And Gail and I were saying to ourselves, we don't care what kind it is. We don't care what brand. We don't care about any features or any of that stuff. Well, you know, as long as it's reliable. You know, we don't even care about the color. As long as it's not that tan beige color that was popular for a while. As long as it's not that. But anything else we don't care about. And we were praying about this and worrying about it. And just when we were about to lose hope, we got a call from two members of the internship church, Jane and Elle. People who were pillars of that church. We'd gotten to know them so well throughout our time there. They were involved in so many things at the church. And they said, "We'd like to meet and talk with you. Could we come up to the church and meet with you tomorrow?" And Gail and I said, "Sure, we're not sure what this is about." And then they sat down across from us and they said, "You know, we know you've really been struggling to find a van for your kids and you're trying to get ready for these babies. And we've talked about it and we've prayed about it and we want to give you our minivan." And Gail and I were blown away. We're like, "Are you serious?" It's like our prayers were being answered right before our eyes. And they said, "Before you get too excited, it's really old and it's got a lot of miles, but it's just been the two of us and we've taken good care of it. It's yours if you want it." And we said, "Are you sure?" And we joyfully said, "Yes, that's such an amazing gift." And so as we were celebrating this, they said, "Well, do you want to go see it? You've never even seen it. Do you want to at least look at it?" And we're like, "Well, yeah, but whatever, we'll take it." And then we went out, and what color was it? Beige. Gail and I looked at each other and we laughed. We're like, God is just slapping that knee and laughing at us. See, without, though, friends, without this community of Christian siblings that we'd been blessed with in that church, I don't know what we would have done to this day. And that van, it kept running for us for a few more years. It got us through seminary and then through into South Carolina, where my first call as pastor was. And that first year we were in South Carolina, they had historic, devastating floods. And our house was okay, but there was a family from our church that was not. Their apartment was completely flooded. They lost everything. Both cars were submerged underwater. And they were a young couple with two young boys, and they didn't know what they were going to do. And a family from our church said, you can stay with us as long as you need to. We've got you. And Gail and I looked at each other, and we knew it was time to pass on that classic minivan, just as we'd been blessed. And it got them through the next season in their life. See, friends, God worked through Christian community to save us in a time when we would have been lost. And all throughout the Bible, this is what we see. Throughout history, it seems that God chooses to work primarily through other people in our lives. We see it over and over again. In that story we read from the Gospel of Luke today, Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, how did he do it? He looked at his disciples and he said, hey, why don't you give them something to eat? And when they didn't know what to do, they turned to others and they said, well, I've got some bread and I've got some fish. And Jesus said, come on over here, let's do this together. I'm not going to just do this with you. I'm going to do this with you. I'm going to do this through you. You see, it's in the crucible of Christian community that God forms us into disciples and chooses to move in the world. It's together that we learn to live like Jesus lives, love like Jesus loves, forgive like Jesus forgives. It's through community, our life together, that we start to discover our own calling, our sense of purpose for our lives. It's here that we encounter the palpable, tangible presence of God in one another. I know sometimes we struggle with our faith, though, right? Maybe today you yourself are feeling distant from God. Maybe you've been praying and praying about something and just feel like you're getting silence. Or maybe you've been really struggling with a relationship in your life, or you're feeling alone, or maybe you're trying to find your purpose. Whatever it is, we find this together. And today, as we celebrate Father's Day, I wonder, you know, for anybody that's a parent out there right now, maybe you're wondering, am I doing this right? Am I messing my kids up? But you know, community is so important. I can't tell you how valuable our small group from church has been for helping us wrestle with that question. We need one another, friends. We need other Christians in our life. And when we gather together in intentional community with one another, this is the place where God most consistently and persistently chooses to speak into our lives. It starts here in community. And then whatever other extraordinary, miraculous things we see in this story of Acts in the early church that the disciples do, it always comes after this, after gathering as the church in community for worship and prayer, where they gather to be formed more and more into the likeness of Christ. See, if we're going to understand and interpret the rest of the stories in the book of Acts, we have to always remember that this is the backdrop. This is the foundation on which God chooses to build and move in the world, the church. In Acts chapter 2 that we heard today, it's one of the clearest articulations about what the Christian life together looks like. This is like a blueprint for our spiritual life. And if we break it down and dig in, you see really five core concepts or aspects of this Christian life together that are laid out in Acts. So I want to look at a couple verses again and highlight these things. Excuse me. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and the prayers. There's four things there. And then a little bit later, it says this, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. So we see those five things, teaching and learning, fellowship, shared meals, breaking of bread, and I think this probably means meals in our homes together, but also communion, and then praying together, and sharing resources, taking care of one another. Now, we could do a whole sermon series on just these things together, but today I want to focus in on just one of these things, this idea of fellowship, because this is the one that I think we sometimes misunderstood or undervalue in the church. Sometimes we tend to think fellowship in the church is just getting together to have fun with people we like, or maybe getting to know people just a little bit better. And that's good and that's important. But the word fellowship, the Greek word koinonia, it's so much deeper than that. It's a bit different. This word koinonia or fellowship in the Bible, it talks about purposeful, intentional commitment to one another, to life together. And in 1 Corinthians 1:9, Paul writes this, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship, koinonia, with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, fellowship, the biblical idea of fellowship, it's not just closeness with one another, it's also connection to Jesus himself. These koinonia relationships that Jesus calls us into, these are something so special. It's not meant to be comfortable, it's meant to be purposeful. Fellowship isn't about convenience, it's about commitment. And it's Jesus himself who draws us into these relationships that both challenge us and help us to grow. So it makes me ask questions about us, the church. How do we move then from just comfortable friendship to biblical fellowship? How do we move more from just being friendly to becoming family, family on mission together in Christ? And final thought, when I think about this language we heard at the end of the reading today, where it says, awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. You know, I'm starting to wonder if that awe, that those signs and wonders it's talking about, that's not referring only to miracles, certainly it is, but I wonder if it's also referring to the amazing witness of that life together. This Christian community, these marks of life together, these were people from different walks of life who were coming together in love and generosity and equity, regardless of social status or class or any of those other things. People were sharing all they had. They were loving one another and the world like in ways that the world had never seen. This group of people was living in such a way that when others on the outside saw it, it was like they were astounded and they looked in and they said, what is this? How we didn't know people could live like that, that they could be so filled with love and joy and generosity and hope. I want to be a part of that. Friends, when we allow God to create that, that's when we start to see the Spirit really moving. That's when we start to see, like it said in Acts, the Lord adding to their number daily those who are being saved. When our life together becomes so magnetic that people just can't stay away. So today, as we go from this place, I want to give you an invitation. I want to invite each of us to this week consider and pray about where God might be calling you deeper into that biblical fellowship, into relationship and community in Christ. We're all in different places, right? So it means different things for different people, but where is God drawing you in? Maybe it means joining a small group. Maybe it means being a part of a Bible study. And those things, yes, they take time. So I know some of you are thinking, Pastor Josh, our schedule's so full, I can't add anything else. But friends, here's the reality. If you don't take control of your calendar takes control of you. Where is God calling you? And maybe for you, maybe your life is scattered and busy and you're not here that consistently, and it's just this sense of call to be more committed, to be present, and when you are, make sure that you connect with someone on a deeper level. What is it for you? Whatever that next step is, I invite you to pray about it this week. Because friends, God is inviting us into a life of faith and community together that's beautiful beyond belief. Step in and experience the fellowship that God has for you in this life together. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for the gift of each other, that you draw us into relationships, not based on our commonalities or our common ground, but based on our common identity as your beloved children. God, you give us this gift of community that's so different than what is defined in the world. God, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts and minds. Help us to love one another more deeply and fully as you have loved us. And help us to share that joy and that love with the world around us each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.